Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Oh, great. Are we back? Okay. All right, great. I tell you what, I got another one. Maybe, and this is on the good news, but it also talks about that. It says another win. Missouri versus Biden lawsuit. Federal judge orders White House Fauci, NIAID, HHS to turn over hidden communications with big tech. And it says, victories for freedom lovers has been plenty in Missouri versus the Biden case, and this week is no different. It says, Missouri just filed suit against Joe Biden, Jen Psaki, Dr. Fauci, other top-ranking officials for allegedly colluding with social media companies to suppress freedom of speech under the guise of combating, quote, misinformation, unquote. Attorney General Eric Schmidt announced the suit alleges a massive coordinated effort by the deep state, and this is permanent administrative state, to work with big tech to censor, manipulate Americans from the average citizens to outlets, to issues including the Hunter Biden laptop from hell, 2020 election integrity, COVID-19 origin, and skepticism, COVID-19 vaccines, skepticism, and many other issues. And that's just good to know. And it was filed by Gateway Pundit, and it's the lead private plaintiff in the suit. And this is their article. So I think that there's, you know, some of these things are, may come to fruition before the election. Yes.
Well, these things, there's a lot going to happen right now. There's Alicia Powell. She don't think too highly of Bill Barr, as we don't either, but she refers to him as D-State Route, but Bill Barr says the Justice Department is very close to having evidence to indict Trump, but then if you go into the article, he's saying he doesn't think the evidence, and he hopes that they really don't do that, but he was a traitor. And so go ahead and let's play the clip.
Pardon? Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing, I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. and thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Who's that?
3 minutes that encapsulates the United States since World War II, basically the last 60 or 70 years, certainly for the 1960s, the LSD trip, peace, love, sex, freedom, rock and roll, and all that. That was an excellent, excellent video that really explains where we are today after all that has happened. If I were the devil, continue to do what he's doing. That is what we're fighting, people. Make no mistake about it. This is James Grunvig, your host for Unrestricted Truth's DEFCON 5 with my show co-host, Josh Reed, today. On AmericanMediaPeriscope.com, you can find us on AmpNews.us. You actually want to go look at one of the articles I wrote today on Mariupol, the Russian military tribunals. It is could be a game changer. Josh and I will talk about that in a minute. The show is brought to you by our lead sponsor, Dr. Kirtha, PhD. And let's go to video number two. Chris Sky, who was on the show last week with Josh, talking about what? Oh, the coming lockdown 2.0 in Germany.
Check this out. I warn you guys that not only is it not over, that they're going to come back with a vengeance. And check out Germany. First, they announce mandatory masks from October to March. And now they've announced a triple color-coded vaccine passport system modeled after China. Green when you're freshly vaccinated. That's the new buzzword. There's no such thing as fully vaccinated because now you have to keep taking it. So now you get a little app that's green while you're freshly vaccinated. After your vaccine turns 3 months old, you're no longer freshly vaccinated, so it turns yellow to remind you that it's almost time for another shot. And when it goes yellow, you are now required to wear your mask everywhere in public because you're no longer freshly vaccinated. And then 3 months after that, another jab. Rinse, repeat until you're dead.
Yeah, the warning signs in Germany have been there for a while. Josh, let's talk about Germany and lockdowns 2.0 because it's coming to Canada, United States, I believe. The Biden regime will certainly try to enforce this in certain states like California, New York. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Germany went back to national socialism in the 90s, and they've been on this this front that's reminiscent of the 1930s Germany all over again. And it's really scary what's happening in Europe. We know that the globalist stronghold, the Anglo-Saxon New World Order, is headquartered in Europe. And since the 1990s and all before that, the mid-1800s, they've been organizing Europe to be this proponent of global socialism. They all funded and basically started out in China to get China to be this model for the whole world until China eventually told them to pee off and that they wanted nothing to do with it. This happened right after the COVID outbreak, and that's when they started forming the BRICS Alliance. But what's happening here in Germany is an indicator of what we're about to see happening globally if, and I say if, the globalists win this war and these final battles that are coming up in the very near future, James.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Josh. Absolutely. Communist China and Russia want nothing to do with the West, certainly not the socialist West at all. So this is going to be a showdown of the finish. So what is your... Good. We'll bring Juan on in 1 second. We'll bring on Juan O'Savvy. He's in the house. We'll bring him on in a second. I want to jump in really quickly to 2 points. One is, Josh, in a minute or two, talk about the Russian Federation's military tribunals coming up in Mariupol. Talk about that first.
Well, this is really interesting. So what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot of information that the West does not want to come out. We got to remember one of the main reasons why Vladimir Putin went into Ukraine. For 14 years, he's been screaming at the United Nations Security Council about the genocide occurring in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions of Ukraine on the various Slavic and Russian people in those areas. What was the genocide? The genocide was various Nazi regiments out there utilizing the U.S.-funded biolabs to produce genetically targeted bioweapons against those people. Now, this information is going to come out, and there's a lot of things happening right now in the sense of this actually coming out. Now, Russia is going to be holding these tribunals starting here very, very shortly, and apparently some Americans and other Western people are going to be involved in that because they were captured, as James has talked about. Now, what is the information that we can see actually coming about? Well, we have the 28 U.S. bio labs that were run there. They were basically administered by Germany. They were funded by private organizations, Black and Beach, a DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency contractor, and another one called Metabiota, which Hunter Biden had a 10% investment into, as well as Joe Biden gets 10% for the big guy, right? And so we see liberalism all connected directly to these bio labs. And then we have to talk about the whistleblower DOD document that came out a few months back, which is dated from August of 2019. This came out from Russia, apparently. August of 2019 of a DOD memo asking the bio labs in Ukraine for all their information pertaining to the gain of function research on COVID-19. Now, why is that interesting? Because COVID-19 didn't occur until December of 2019 and wasn't named appropriately until then. But why is the DOD document asking for this? Russia's came out and blamed the United States for the creation of this, where the original gain of function research started in Ukraine in the early to late 2010 to 2004 or 2014 to 2016 timeframe, after the gain of function research was moved to Wuhan, as well as expanded over in Ukraine. And so we have some bombshells coming out because of this, James.
Big time bombshells. Now, before we bring Juan on, last point, Dean Raising Cain. Let's talk about him.
General Dan Raising Cain is a phenomenal human being. This is a man that Donald Trump started talking about at CPAC about last year, and he's mentioned him at almost every single rally. Now, you got to understand the history of Dan Cain, or General Dan Cain. On September 11, 2001, he was one of the two U.S. Air Force pilots flying over Washington, D.C., tracking the 767 that apparently, we know that didn't, flew into the Pentagon. He actually testified against this. He was given the order to not shoot that plane down, even though these pilots have the discretion, he chose not to. So this is a man who knows conspiracy. When Donald Trump took office, Dan Raising Cain is the man who went in there and operated our special operations forces in Syria and Afghanistan and knocked out the ISIS caliphate. This is the one man who single-handedly used military tactics to demolish all of ISIS within just a few months. Where did he go after that? Well, Dan Cain went to oversee all special access programs in the United States military. So if there's any man out there who knows about what the top secrets are in this country, or who has access to basically start a special access program, it's Dan Raising Cain. Now, this becomes incredibly interesting because we've been seeing a lot of Donald Trump's truths coming out lately, and they all are pertaining to reference to two different Q posts, and they come out with the reference to 11-3, the first marker, as well as Q post 26, which states, think about it logically, military is the only way. Just 2 days ago, Donald Trump tweeted, 26-0 tonight, the numerous tight races and the big and easy wins overall the last 4 years, 98.4% on endorsements, and he posted this at 11:06 p.m., 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 6 again, reference that points directly to Q post 26. Donald Trump is trying to tell us something. The next day, this is where it gets really interesting, James. The next day, we have a political report comes out from DC Insider saying that out of those 13 boxes taken out of Mar-a-Lago was special access program information, the highest and most classified secrets of our military. And the day before, or 12 hours before, Donald Trump posted this about military is the only way. What is he trying to hint towards us? Did Donald Trump, after Rudy Giuliani told him not to appoint Powell as special prosecutor, go out there and give and hand over all the information to General Dan Cain and have him create a special access program, which would have provided the funding without congressional oversight, without executive branch oversight to create an operation of investigation through various intelligence sectors of our United States military, probably placed within Space Force, to go out there and begin listening to the deep state. Why? We have to remember Q. Future proves the past. We had all the information, but we obtained it illegally through spying through the NSA, so that was not admissible in court. That means that we had to set up the deep state. We had to set up the cabal, formulate this coup, allow them to do their coup d'etat. Trump leaves office. The military operation is underway to start collecting data for the last 19 months. They've been collecting data, because when does a bird sing? Not when it's in a cage, when it's free on that tree branch after the storm. And so they've been collecting all this data legally, because the only other part of our justice system that can actually issue a FISA warrant is a judge advocate general of the United States Army. And we know that they do this through various different special access programs. And so the idea here is that Donald Trump talked to Kane. He went out there, set up a special access program, secured the funding, went to the judge advocate generals. They issued the FISA warrants before Trump left. He signed it all into power, had the documents with him. And then all of a sudden, Biden comes in and this operation starts going out to collecting the information, investigating 2020 and investigating the deep state actors. Why? Because the ultimate problem here is what the originally created the Q team. You have to go back to 2007, 2008, with stolen nuclear and top secret special access program secrets that were being sold off to foreign enemies. This culminated with Hillary Clinton doing this directly from her personal server. If you remember from the Horowitz report, she had an email address, a Gmail address that was geographically tracked to offshore in China, where she was sending special access program and top secret information directly to by replying to or forwarding them to her State Department email address. If we remember this clearly, Inspector General of the Intelligence Committee McCullough was sitting in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee in a hearing and saying, this is too classified, I can't tell you. The chairman was like, well, can we go to a skip and do a closed door session? He goes, no, these are special access programs. You can't be read in, and not even I can be read in. These are summary briefings that I was given, and they wouldn't even tell me what these were about. What are these? The top level technologies that Hillary Clinton was selling to the Chinese. What was in those emails she was selling? It was the professors and the universities that were a part of the compartmentalization of the DOD to basically reverse engineer various types of highly advanced technologies that the United States military had possession of. Very interesting. And so now we're seeing this all unfold. This is all coming out. The documents that they were looking for at Trump's Mar-a-Lago was special access program information pertaining to the investigation on themselves. Exactly what we've been told. The FBI is trying to cover their own butt. The Joe Biden administration is trying to cover their butt. And they're trying to take Trump down in the process, James.
So let's real quickly, devolution is not quite accurate, right? So talk about that for about a minute, just about a minute. Devolution is not quite the story here. You're painting a different picture. Go ahead.
Right. So I worked at the Washington Navy Yard as an active duty military member of the Naval Police Force. And one thing that we're required to do is actually go out there and get trained by FEMA and become various certifications within FEMA. And we learn all about devolution. And devolution is not something that necessarily can come about through decree. So a president can't determine through decree that devolution is occurring right now. It has to come about through process, either cataclysm or through various other directives that are in our government, but it happens after the fact. And people who are part of the contingency of government know their positions. They know where these secondary areas geographically are going to be set up. And so devolution, the name, is kind of misleading, I think. In the sense of a military operation, I think that, yes, there is a good possibility that U.S. military intelligence has been looking into this for a very long time and collecting evidence, but I don't see how that is directly connected with contingency of government and how Trump is the current president. I don't think that's the truth, but I do believe that most of our military looks at Trump as the commander-in-chief currently.
Got it. So continuity of government, understood. The last point. Raising Cain sounds like this is really for the audience, and then we'll let Juan answer this right after our break. But basically, December 18th, Friday night, December 18th, 2020, was when the DNI was supposed to deliver a report, which wasn't delivered, and Trump had Patrick Byrne, he had Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, General Michael Flynn were all in the White, all in the Oval Office with President Trump, and they're all pushing for the Insurrection Act. And Juan explained everything to John Michael Chambers and I at a dinner we had in Vegas last year about what really transpired and why Trump didn't go forward with the insurrection. So we'll let Juan answer that. I just wanted to give a, you know, a date. The 18th of December. It was a Friday night when they all pushed for it, and Trump temporarily gave Sidney Powell, you know, clearance for whatever, and the next day they broke off and went in different directions. So that might have been when some of these special access programs were created. Is that your thought?
That's exactly my thought, is that Giuliani most likely came out and told Donald Trump that, you know, having an outsider like Sidney Powell come in there with all the public expectations that are put on her probably isn't the best way. The best way is probably through the military and military intelligence, by utilizing people within the military that he trusts and that are faithful to the Constitution, because they're the ones that can truly get this information done, as well as issue the FISA warrants to do what needs to be done secretly without the incoming administration actually finding out.
Really good wrap up on everything here, Josh, bringing this all into focus. This is good. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to be bringing a lot more of this. There's a lot more going on out there. Folks, I know you, the white hats keep what they're doing close to their belt, okay? The black hats, they're NBC, ABC, CBS, all of the lamestream media, they're the enemy. They are absolutely, if you're a red-blooded American patriot, they're the enemy. They're working, and they will tell you whatever they're told to tell you, whatever the collective, whatever they call their narrative is, they will do that. And the idea is to take America today and to reduce us to third world status. The idea is to kill people off, and that's what they're going to be doing. They're going to be killing people off. They are. I mean, people are dying from these shots. They're shots. They're not vaccines. Horrible things are happening, and it's the job of NBC, ABC, CBS to cover it up, not to let you know. It's our job to tell you the truth. Their job is to tell you what they're told to tell you, and that's exactly what's happening. Go ahead, Randy.
Okay. Now, actually, to sort of dovetail on top of what the gentleman was just talking about here, investigative journalist says Planned Parenthood is selling aborted baby tissue to communist China to develop bioweapons.
It's exactly what they're doing.
Okay.
Planned Parenthood is, they are the most wicked, evil, ungodly, unclean, creeping, crawling stench of death in the entire world.
Yeah, it says new revelations have come to light about Chinese communist involvement in the black market for aborted baby body parts. In essence, the Communist Party is buying organs and tissues from Planned Parenthood, using them to develop bioweapons. And we already knew that Planned Parenthood had been murdering babies for cash for many years. It says the director of the Communist Chinese Party's National Health and Family Planning Commission, Liu Bin, announced that he would contribute $528 million to Planned Parenthood in exchange for the continued donation of human tissue samples.
And that's, in other words, the bodies of murdered babies.
Right, right.
Yes. Those are beasts. Those are animals of Planned Parenthood.
Since forging that partnership, Gerber says, and that's the gentleman's name is Michael Gerber, that the Chinese Communist Party has been the largest repository of human DNA from the U.S. persons in history. And he says that the human DNA is being used to develop biological weapons. This is treason, Gerber expressed, and our own government is colluding with the Chinese Communist Party with biological weapons, and that's a whole other story. But yes, they're using these organs to make massive amounts of money, and they're doing it deliberately to take over the world, basically, not just bioweapons, but also in artificial intelligence. Systems are produced from these samples. He says that the CCP, Communist Party, is really harvesting babies from the United States and using their baby body parts to build race-specific bioweapons. Then it is not much of a stretch to speculate that the Fauci flu shots are almost certainly to be part of this. We know these shots contain ingredients derived from aborted baby parts, as do much other vaccines. And it says, we need to remind everyone that a role of the Rockefellers, the role that the Rockefellers played in the establishment of Planned Parenthood, expressed a commentator at National News, that the same Klan involved in the establishment of the Federal Reserve, Council on Foreign Relationships, Bilderbergens, UN, etc., the same Klan which, quote, unquote, educates every single MD how to push their drugs, and the same Klan which guides the science, unquote, is in godless steps in every single discipline. And that's the end of that article.
Okay, Randy, I'll tell you who else. These companies out there that tell you that they will find out who are you related to and track down your ancestry, ancestry.com or whatever, they've also been selling the DNA that they to the Chinese. Chinese have been buying their DNA.
Yeah, somewhere in here here it is. Companies like 23andMe, and I'm sure you guys have heard of them. They're a sample collector, and allegedly they do your family tree.
All right, now here's the other thing. For a long time, people have been asking. You know, they every day we get hundreds. I mean, sometimes 600 to 800 emails a day. People are always asking us to send them this article. We don't have that kind of. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the manpower to answer all of these things that people. You know, I don't have the manpower to read all these emails that I get. We read the letters and the prayer requests. We do those every one. Okay, you guys know that you're there.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
But what we're going to do is this. This coming Sunday, and I'm going to try to do it on more of a regular basis, we're going to take these articles that we have, the ones you read tonight, and a lot of the ones that people have been asking us, we're just going to put them open right there. We're going to put them on the tables down in the fellowship hall downstairs. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of these articles. We're just going to put them out so people can come down, they can read them, they can take some of them if they want, but it's going to be there. We're going to be this way. They can go right through it, go through our archives and all of these articles that we've talked about over the years. So
that's wonderful.
That's this coming Sunday.
That's wonderful, because and that's important.
Yeah, it is. All right, very good. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the phone lines and take some calls.
Okay.
And as we go in between that, we're going to take the calls now. I had mentioned before about our sheriff going to be Tuesday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. But we're asking for pastors or, you know leaders in the pro-life leaders, but mostly we're asking for pastors, folks out there listening to us. In our county, in the Northeast Ohio area, especially the Geauga County area, to come on out, Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, right at the corner of Sperry and 87, as we are going to, we're going to put our sheriff on the spot. We're going to find out what he is prepared to do for us, okay? What we're prepared to do for him. So, anyhow, phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. Before I take a call, we started on this. Alicia Powell said that deep state rat Bill Barr, the Justice Department, is very close to having evidence to indict Trump, is what Barr says. Well, former Attorney General, and he betrayed us. He was another one of the deep staters. Bill Barr claims, and that's what he's going to be known for. He's going to be known for his betrayal, just exactly like Comey was, just exactly
same thing.
Like Merrick Garland. They're known. They'll be known. History will say that they went down as betrayers. And so here it says that getting close to getting enough evidence. According to Barr, the justice. It's not a Justice Department. The Injustice Department, the bully branch of the Democratic Communist Party, is getting very close to gathering enough evidence to indict former President Donald Trump for keeping classified documents at his Florida home. They don't have the evidence. You just heard what was taking place. They are totally corrupt. They have been weaponized against us by totally corrupt communists. Prosecutors must decide whether they can make a technical case against Trump and sufficient evidence to justify an indictment, Barr told Fox News. As I've said all along, there are two questions, the ex-AG said. Will the government be able to make out a technical case? They'll lie. That's all they do. It's all they ever do. Will they have evidence by which they indict someone, including President Trump? The first question is, I think they're getting very close to that point. Frankly, it's unclear whether the DOJ, whatever, the DOJ does dirty something, okay, brother, will risk the political liability that would ensue from indicting a former president, Barr continued. At the end of the day, he said, there's another question. Do you indict a former president? What will it do to the country? You've already done it. You've split the country in half. Yeah. Come on, give me a break, Barr. You know exactly what it'll do. They're pushing for a civil war. What kind of president will it set? Will the people really understand that this is not failing to return a library book? This is very serious. Let me tell you, it's very serious. It's the very corrupt government that we have out there. The very corrupt Merrick Garland. The very corrupt DOJ. The very, very corrupt Chris Wray. And so you have to worry about these things. I hope that these kind of factors will incline the administration not to indict him, because I don't want to see him indicted as a former president. Yeah, you do. Attorney General Merrick Garland, a dirty cop. Again, I want to say it. I've said it time and time again. He would be very, 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 very hard-pressed to find someone to indict as corrupt as he is.
That's right.
May ultimately decide to indict Trump to depict a perception of fairness, Barr argued. In other words, he's doing what Joe Obama is telling him to do. Joe Obama was the one that instructed him to start to raid President Trump's home. By the way.
Well, actually, I have an article here, if you don't mind.
I'm not finished.
Okay.
Steve Bannon surrenders to New York authorities. They're going after Steve Bannon again, one by one. This is going to all come back on him, okay? This is going to come back. What comes around, goes around, comes around. Let me finish. I also think that they will be under a lot of pressure to indict him because, look, if anyone else would have gotten indicted, they would have. Why not indict him, he asked. Barr's also trashed President Trump, the legitimate president of the United States, on Fox News last week while defending the FBI's raid. That's the fascist bullies insurrectionist raid on Trump's Florida home. People say this was unprecedented. Well, it's also unprecedented for a president to take all the classified information and put them in a country club, Barr said. He never did that. That is unbelievable. There you go. Barr, you will be known for as Traitor Barr. You will be known for the rat. This is what this woman said. You know what? You see, Randy, when an innocent, good person turns over on a criminal, that's called whistleblowing. But when a criminal turns over on a criminal, that's called what?
Ratting, that's exactly right.
All righty. Okay, let's go ahead. You have your article quickly.
Real quickly. And this is a country that's unfair and broken. This is a quote from President Trump about the raid on Mar-a-Lago. It says, so they rifle through the living quarters of my 16-year-old son, Barron, the loved and respected former First Lady of the United States, Melania. But despite proven high crimes and treasons and just plain common theft all pointed out in the laptop from hell, they never raided or broke into the house of Hunter Biden, or perhaps even more importantly, the house of Joe Biden. A treasure trove. This is a country that's unfair and broken. It says the laptop contained evidence of Hunter and Joe Biden's illegal multi-million pay-for-play schemes. FBI officials buried this information of proven criminal actions. It says in October we first reported that Hallie Biden took Hunter Biden's gun, threw it in the trash. Now it's finally taking national news. And it goes on. It says Hunter Biden also committed several alleged crimes with his girlfriend. And they've got pictures here of him with the FBI never rifled through Hunter Biden's belongings in a pre-dawn raid. The FBI never left his home in shambles after rifling through his bedroom. The FBI never stormed the home of Hunter Biden or his father, Joe Biden. And the FBI did, however, rifle through Barron Trump's bedroom. They left
the FBI has become totally illegitimate.
Yeah, exactly.
They're completely, they've got no credibility, no legitimacy left. Okay, let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. You know, you were just talking about the HHS. It's interesting that Paul Alexander, who had been on the Stu Peters show at least a couple of times that I heard, Oxford University guy brought in, and he kind of went against this mass thing. He cited journal articles, the article on LifeSite News this week said that basically he's saying that he was, they told him, we're going to leak to the press that you're, you know, a monster and so on. So they did that. Within 4 days, there were articles against this guy who was basically just saying masking shouldn't be done for children. And the guy got death threats. He said they were saying things to him like, they said, all of us work in HHS. Trump has no power. We work all day against Trump, and we go home in the evening and work against him. And how dare you go against Anthony Fauci? Now, this guy was going to be brought into the White House team, and then they fired him, and the people that fired him included not the White House, but the Justice Department lawyers were in on it. Not only the people from HHS, but the Justice Department lawyers. So that was very harrowing of an article. But I also want to bring up Psalm 144 because I think it relates directly to what you said from Timothy. Because David is saying that these people are such an intrusion that he's praying to the Lord in the first half of Psalm 144, Lord, unless you get rid of these people, we're not going to have a functional society. And then he gives that vision of a functioning society again in the second half of that psalm. So I think that, you know, was a good insight about, like, peace. You have to pray, but you can't necessarily pray for these people. What do you think of that? Do you see that correlation between Psalm 144 and Timothy?
Well, yeah, you pray that God will bring them to repentance or he'll remove them, one or the other.
Right.
Now, he knows the ones that will repent and the ones that won't. And so, because if you don't, and if you don't do that, they're going to continue to hurt the innocent. So you're commanded actually to do that. But I have to move on because the entire board's lit. But thanks, Cliff. Let's go to Jack in San Diego.
So an important event's coming up: the anniversary of 9/11 this Sunday.
Yeah, I know. This is why we're asking the pastors all over the country to preach on repentance. We need to preach on repentance. Look, the Republican Party's not going to help us. We don't have a government. You and I, if you're a patriot, Christian, true American, we don't have a government. The government has gone completely corrupted. God,
let me tell you about this important event that never gets publicity. First, you have to go back to the 1976 National Emergencies Act, where Congress gave the president the sole power to declare national emergencies. Now, 3 days after 9/11, President Bush 43, declared a national emergency with respect to the war on terror. It still exists today. And the way it exists is that on or before September the 14th of every year, the current president of the United States has to reauthorize the emergency for another year. Every president has done that since 9/11, including Trump. And I will predict that on probably September the 10th, this Saturday, or maybe the Friday before, Biden will renew the national emergency with respect to the war on terror for an additional year. And it won't get any publicity, but you'll find it in the White House website. That's where they publish it. Now, why is this important? Because as long as you have this national emergency, that's why they call it the endless war on terror, the Constitution is suspended. And that's why they were allowed to do so many unconstitutional things during Bush 43's term as president. And you can think back at your Abu Ghraib rendition, holding American citizens incommunicado. So I am expecting a major terrorist attack. And they're going to turn the notches up on their emergency powers. And I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see American citizens being held in Guantanamo. All you have to do is witness what Biden is doing, which is painting people that support Trump as terrorists.
Oh, absolutely.
The only thing they need now to put all the unconstitutional wheels in motion is a terrorist attack. And I think a major one is imminent.
All right. And he's got all of the complete and help the cooperation from the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. They will do what they will tell whatever lie they are instructed to tell to the people. And unfortunately, you have a whole lot of people out there, like Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But thanks for calling. Got to move on, Jack. Let's go to Timothy in North Royalton.
Yes, good evening, all.
Good evening.
Randy, Lisa, Pastor.
Hey.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just wanted to say that for the next 61 days, we need to lift up President Trump and all his family and his circle. I'm sure in the last 5 or 6 years, his circle has gotten smaller and smaller. We need to pray a precatory prayer over the foxes in the hen house in all his endeavors that the Lord will have a hedge around him. And he will complete what Philippians 1:6 says, that whatever he started in him, and if we go all the way back to 1987 when they show that was probably the beginning of the metamorphosis from Donald Trump the Democrat to eventually Donald Trump the Republican, it was in New Hampshire, I believe, when he gave that speech in 1987, and you can look it up online, that there was a turning point. And he knows where all the bodies are buried, and he knows where all the info is and all the lies and all the corruption, and they're afraid of him. And he's a pit bull, and Mark Levin was just on Sean Hannity tonight. And if anybody gets a chance to watch the redo of the Hannity show and watch the portion of Mark Levin, everything that he said tonight was spot on. And he said those that want to be Trump supporters continue to be Trump supporters. We have to be pit bulls like the pit bull that serves us. And we cannot back down. And you said that was number three of the charges, was not to back down. We are not to back down. We are to support him. We are to pray for him. And if it's God's will, he's back in there again, and everybody will be held accountable.
Well, this is why this Sunday we're making it very, very clear, people. The pastors need to pray. Only God can help the country. You know, this country is turned against her God, and the Bible says that all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. We're heading that way unless the people, you know, and it's the pastors who are more responsible for this than anybody else. They were the ones that people, and they failed. They failed miserably. They failed God. And I've been preaching on that for 50 years.
It starts in the pulpit.
Yep.
And they're going to be held accountable. Anybody who is leading the flock astray and not rightly dividing the word, and not, you know, Joshua 24, about to choose this day who you are going to serve. And if they're not making sure that they're telling people that they have to serve one and one only, and those that left God, their God is climate now. That's what their God is. That's their new religion, is climate. And but our God created climate, he created everything. So, I mean, these wackos, they need to be called on the carpet about all the hypocrisy.
All right. Thanks, Timothy.
Have a blessed evening.
You too. Let's see. Who do we have? We got one coming in here now before we go to Pastor Hal is here to close us in prayer tonight. But we take one last call before we go to Pastor Hal. Let's go to Steve in Cleveland. Steve, you're in the air. You're the last one.
Pastor, you're more needed now than you were 50 years ago, and I can't say back then because you were needed then. So this whole 50 years, God's got his hand on you and his ministry and everybody there. But President Trump has had the goods on everybody, and if anybody wants to go back on YouTube and just take your time, go back to the 40 years that Donald Trump's on and they're talking about him in his early 30s. You think he might be running for president? Because we have so much coming up. But Steve Bannon is so on with what's going on with politics. I mean, how these people think, how they work. But it's amazing that Rush Limbaugh passes away and everything takes off. But what Rush said back 30 years ago, he had a book he wrote, See, I Told You So. And on the back of it, two lines said, the Democrats from the White House and even President Clinton can't destroy the country in 4 years. And, boy, we live in some days now, but your stories and everybody there, just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll help you fight the fight.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Steve. All right, let's go to Pastor Hal. How much time do we have left there, John? Pastor Hal, you've got 5 whole minutes.
Wow, okay. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when that says that it should not perish, it means should not go to hell. This whole world is under the wrath of God because Adam sinned, sin came into the world. All of us became infected by that sin, and God said the penalty for sin is spiritual death, which is dying lost without Christ. Now, God doesn't want anybody to die lost and go to hell. The Bible says it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But yet man wants to shake his fist in God's face and live in rebellion and do his own thing. And the Bible says, what profits a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? And this is something George Soros and the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and all the people in this world, even poor people, there's poor people that shake their fists in God's face too. And they'd rather do things their own way, you know, leading to self-destruction and everything, then follow the Bible and get right with God. And Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, of whom he is chief. And if even the Paul the Apostle looked at himself as being a sinner that needs saved, look, how about us? If you've sinned one sin in your life, that one sin would keep you out of heaven. And you sin every day of your life in thought, word, or deed. So you need to turn to God and receive his pardon. And how do you do that? When Jesus died on the cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you've ever done. And so when you come to God, when you come to, you know, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The Bible says that. And the pure, sinless blood of God himself was going through the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only the pure, sinless blood of Jesus Christ can wash away our sins. That's why Muhammad can't save you, Buddha can't save you, all the gods of the Hindus can't save you, your good works can't save you, because if you quit sinning right now and never sinned again for the rest of your life, just the sins you've already done would keep you out of heaven. But the Bible says that God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but your sins cannot come with you. And when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you've ever done. He was allowing Jesus to transfer the guilt and the sins that you've done onto his son, Jesus. So when Jesus died on the cross, he said 3 words, it is finished, which means all the work necessary for you to go to heaven's been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's simply up to you whether you by faith or reach out and receive that pardon. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's the gift of God. John 1:12 said, But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Right now, you're a creation of God, but even the devil is a creation of God. To go to heaven, you have to become a child of God, a son of God, and that happens when you ask Jesus to come into your heart in simple repentance and faith. Repentance is admitting something to God. He already knows that without Jesus in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell, and we need the blood of Christ to come into our hearts and lives and cleanse us from those sins. And so God hears me talking to you right now. He knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," in other words, hear my word, "and open that door, I will come into him." Again, God's give salvation from hell, eternal life. Yours, it's a free gift. But unless you reach out and receive it, like John 1:12 said, you'll die and go to hell just as much as if you're the worst sinner in the world. And so my job as a preacher is to lead men and women to Christ. If you believe Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, like I said, even the devil knows he did that for you, but the devil does not want you to reach out and receive that payment. He wants you to die and go to hell. Even tonight, he'd take your soul to hell if he could. And the only thing that can keep him from doing that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's offering to save you right now. So if you'd like to be saved, pray this prayer with me. We can say a simple prayer together. And even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. And that's where he's at right now, at the door of your heart. Will you open that door in prayer? That's how you do it. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The call means to pray. That's you talking to God. So what do you say we pray? Follow me in prayer and mean it with all your heart. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and I need your salvation, and I believe only you can save me. Lord Jesus, you said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." And so, God, Lord, you know, you're knocking at the door of my heart right now, and I'm asking you to come in. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul, as only you can do, because I believe you were God in the flesh, dying for my sins on that cross, and I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. Now, 1 John 5:13 says, "For whosoever," it tells you that because you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that you have eternal life. This is God's promise to you. And so God cannot lie. So according to God's promise, if you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart just now, and you meant it, in simple childlike faith, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner, then he came in and he gave you eternal life. And like God cannot lie, which means you have eternal life. And so go ahead, Pastor, it's up to you.
All righty, very good. Yeah, God will always honor the only one that we can completely and totally trust. We can't even completely totally trust ourselves, but you can trust in God. He always gets it right and always gets it done. We are out of time for tonight, and I want to thank you for that invitation, Pastor Hal. So, as we always say when we come to this, this was a good program tonight, okay? There you go. So Randy and little Lisa, they're happy with themselves. But until we want to say until tomorrow, good night. Okay.
God bless. And always, always, always.
Let's do it.
Okay. Keep fighting
the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.